Hey teens, how do you use social media?
This is Cameron Popolo from Jacksonville, Florida. I primarily use Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube. I've had generally good experience on all social media platforms, and if you play your cards right, you're able to avoid a lot of negativity on the internet. Many parents and adults can view our social media as distractions, which they can be, but primarily they're tools. We can use them as a method of communication and gathering information on what is happening around us, but they do also play a significant role in our relaxation as we can watch shows, talk to friends, and connect with those around us.
Hey, this is Nia from McKinney, Texas. I typically use Pinterest, WeHeart It, and Snapchat. Pinterest is great to get my creative juices flowing. WeHeart has great song lists and is good for sharing ideas. Snapchat is good for keeping in touch with my friends, but sometimes we'll take advantage of the 24-hour rule of Snapchat.
According to a new survey, 70% of teenagers are using social media multiple times a day, compared to just a third of teens 6 years ago. And fewer than a third of teens think communicating in person is ideal.
I have three teenagers myself. My kids are 17, 16, and 13, and I am dealing with this issue on a daily basis.
That's Colby Zintel. She's vice president with Common Sense Media, a San Francisco-based nonprofit that tracks teen social media use in the United States.
Each of my kids have a smartphone, which holds up with the data from Common Sense, which says that 89% of kids in the U.S. Now own a smartphone. And each of my kids have a laptop, which they use at school and then they use at home. And so part of my issue is trying to figure out when my kids are offline and how I can get them to not use their devices so much. I mean, whether it's on social media or playing games, my kids are using either their mobile devices or their laptops almost all day long. And it's frustrating as a parent.
So in Colby's house, they set some rules.
The hardest rule to keep, I would say, is no devices in the bedroom. That's really hard when you're a parent of three teenagers and they've all got homework all day long. The rule that we use that's really much easier is we have a device-free dinner as often as we can at home together. No devices allowed at the table. And it's just a nice half an hour of time that we have with our family where we can talk to each other without the distraction of social media or our devices.
So 6 years ago, you guys did a study, and it's 6 years later. What have you noticed? What are the changes? Are teens better or worse when it comes to social media?
Well, I think it's safe to say, and as a parent of teenagers, I think everyone, this might be obvious, but social media has thoroughly taken over our teenagers' social life. Social media literally does not exist without teenagers today, and their relationship with the platforms are complex and varied.
And are there specific platforms that young people today, or younger people, if you will, are flocking to? I know Facebook has suddenly become the platform for older folks, if you will. I think a lot of teenagers don't go on Facebook anymore. So where are they going?
Yeah, so it's all about Instagram and Snapchat with teenagers today. I mean, last time we did this report in 2012, Facebook was the platform. But now they've all moved on and gone to Snapchat and Instagram. So, you know, something like over 60% of the kids are on it, and they're on it several times a day.
Now, those of us who didn't grow up with social media have our own opinions, I think, about social media use. But this is a generation that was born into it. What are their attitudes about the role that social media has in their own lives?
Yeah, you know, so teenagers actually, they love social media. No surprise there. They're on it multiple times a day. And they actually reported in the survey that it actually makes them feel pretty good about themselves. Less lonely, less depressed. You know, parents have a lot of anxiety about how teenagers use social media and what the impact is on them. And the teenagers basically told us, you know what, we're fine.
But are they fine? I mean, some of them are fine, but there are also teenagers who are bullied and harassed on these platforms. What about them?
You're right about that. And so, you know, what we found was that the teenagers are exposed to cyberbullying. And, you know, actually the number of kids who are exposed to hate speech and misogyny and racism the focus group said if they could see what we see on social media, if our parents could see what we see on social media, it would make them cringe. So what we need to do is look at every kid on a case-by-case basis and see that, you know, if they're doing okay, because social media has a tendency to have an amplifying effect. So it can make your life better if you're, a kid with a high social emotional well-being factor, or it could make it worse if you're a kid that has a tendency toward depression, anxiety, loneliness, etc.
And I'm wondering if this is something that is somewhat biased towards the teenagers themselves because they self-reported this, right? What do you think about that? Is that enough to get a full picture?
Yeah, so the teenagers, they did self-report. And I think that it's really important as we look at all this data to take it into consideration that, you know, what the teenagers have to say about how social media is affecting them. I think, you know, one thing that we need to think about is how often they're using social media, because parents are so worried about the fact that their kids are on their devices all day, and the kids are self-reporting that it's distracting and that it distracts them from homework, it distracts them from face-to-face conversation. And so as parents, what we could do is really help them self-manage and be more aware of the impact that social media is having on their day-to-day life, on their relationships, on their ability to do homework, on their ability to sleep. And really, as parents, our job is to pay attention to what the kids are saying and then apply. You know, every kid is different, and teenagers especially are complex kids. You know, this data bears that out. And it's our job to make sure that the kids have a healthy relationship with social media.
Is it realistic, though, really, Colby, to suggest that parents can even control or be aware of what their children are encountering online? I feel like once we, you know, there used to be a time when there was one phone in a home, right? And anyone who called that home, you know, had to sort of go through one or two people. But everybody has their own device these days. So how can parents even be aware of what their kids are going through when they're not controlling the device itself?
You know, so I am a parent of teenagers, and I understand this exactly. You know, all of my kids, they have a smartphone and they have a computer, and you know that they're being exposed to this. And unfortunately, they're being exposed to it in their bedrooms because that's where they're doing their homework and they're on their devices. As a parent at Common Sense Media, what we basically say is you have to teach those kids instead how to respond to what they're seeing online. And so how to be digital citizens is what we say at Common Sense, how to stand up when you see cyberbullying, when you see hate speech, and really how to respond appropriately online rather than saying, I have to cut this off from my child because, you know, I don't know what they're going to see online. We have to teach kids these skills because, let's face it, social media is not going away, and the kids are using it. More than 70% of them are checking it several times a day. Some of them say they're online constantly. And so what we need to do is meet the kids where they are and then teach them how to behave appropriately when they come across some of the tricky stuff.
You mentioned that kids are online almost all the time in some instances, and I'm wondering what that's doing for their development. They're still learning. They're still growing. These are children who, you know, are they becoming more distracted? Is this having an impact on the way that they're able to process information?
So I would say that that is an interesting finding that we saw from the report, because the kids did say that they are increasingly distracted. They're distracted when they're doing their homework. They're distracted when they are with their friends, and that they found that that was frustrating for them. And as parents, we all worry about things like social media's impact on, you know, kids' social and emotional well-being. Parents worry about device addiction, cyberbullying, eroding social skills. These are all huge concerns of parents. And I think what we need to do, as I said, was meet the kids where they are and say, if this is distracting you from your homework or from doing something that's more important, how can we be more mindful about device use? And how can we put your device down and do something, say, with focused attention? Or, you know, maybe you have a device-free dinner time or a device-free bedtime. And parents can do a lot to try to alleviate some of their own concerns about their kids' device use. And then, you know, sometimes when you take the phone away, while a teenager may say that they're angry about that, they might secretly be relieved.
And I guess parents will also have to do this by example as well, putting their own phones down. Would you agree?
Totally. And, you know, in research report after research report that we do at Common Sense, the kids all say that the way that their parents use their devices not only sets an example, but is frustrating for the kids themselves. We did a report several years ago that said that teenagers are interacting with the screen as much as 9 hours a day. Well, guess what? Grown-ups are interacting with screens 9.5 hours a day. So we need to look at our own behavior and see what we're modeling for our teenagers and for our young kids especially.
Colby Zintel is vice president with Common Sense Media. Colby, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.